Hello everybody, I'm George Ramayan, so thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the British state visit to the United States that's forthcoming on the 27th of April. His Most Gracious Majesty Charles of that name the third shall fly to the United States, landing in Washington DC, which airport, probably air base, is Andrews Air Force Base, and commence a four-day visit to the United States of America. This will be his first state visit there. And not his first state visit at all. He's been to other places like Germany since he became king. My goodness, was it 3.5 years ago? So to remind you what a state visit is, and that is the supreme expression of amity between sovereign states. So only a head of state can do this. A head of government such as the prime minister cannot. Like in the Republic of Ireland, we welcome foreign presidents, foreign kings and queens and so forth. Or our president can visit other sovereign states. For example, the United Kingdom. Okay. And it'll be once during a presidency or once during monarchy, as in Charles III will never go on a state visit again to the USA during the Trump presidency. If J.D. Vance were to become president, then Charles III could visit the United States again as a state visit. The one down from that is an official visit, which he could do two or more times during the presidency. Okay, now Trump has been on a state visit to the United Kingdom during the reign of His Britannic Majesty Charles III, and he can never do that again. But when J.D. Vance, or if J.D. Vance, for instance, were to become president, then yes, he'd go on a state visit again to the United Kingdom during the reign of Charles III. So it's once between each individual. And the invitation is only issued when it is certain that there shall be acceptance of the same. It also comes in the 250th anniversary of American independence. And on the bicentenary, Elizabeth II was invited to the United States. And indeed, she went because they talk this so-called special relationship. Really, show there no hard feelings, like over 200 years on. And continue. All right. So there'll be a banquet in the King's honor at the White House. He will address a joint session of the Houses of Congress, which is not a standard part of a state visit. So that is an unparalleled honor. His mother, she addressed both Houses of Congress in about 1990. Now, anything else? Okay. So there might be visits to, I don't know, galleries or to the theatre or meeting members of the diplomatic corps, visiting a university, perhaps the British School in Washington, D.C. What else is on? So and now Sir Keir Starmer will go on, but he'll be in the Hateley place. He also have one-on-one meetings with President Trump and so forth. Okay, and they both deliver speeches during the state banquet, which have been cleared with each other in advance. They agree on the menu and everything like that. So Charles III will also go to New York as part of this, meeting members of the business community, partly because some business executives will come along with him. They say that they're going to go outside the city to somewhere of historic importance. We don't know when. For example, when Elizabeth II went in 2007, she went to Jamestown, Virginia, as in the first permanent English settlement in North America. Anything else? So later on, going to Bermuda, which is not part of the United States. All right. So he is the country's supreme diplomat. Now, fortunately for the United Kingdom, Donald J. Trump is a fervent royalist. Now, there have been people such as the Liberal Democratic Party in the United Kingdom, Sir Ed Davey, its leader, saying that the leader ought to be cancelled because of the highly disobliging remarks that Donald Trump has made about the United Kingdom, saying that Sir Keir Starmer is no Churchill. Well, that's true, because Starmer was wise enough and indeed obviously law-abiding enough to say we're not getting involved in this illegal war of aggression against Iran. Now, reluctantly, the United Kingdom has been drawn into it somewhat, and there's been some legal argument why it would be non-aggressive what the United Kingdom is doing, that its actions are solely defensive. What else is there? So now being very rude about the UK generally, saying that its aircraft carriers are mere toys. I mean, I don't know much about naval matters, so they're smaller, perhaps less impressive than the American ones. But Donald Trump has it both ways. He doesn't need allies and he does need allies. He doesn't want them to help and then he's desperate for them to help. But they have to sort it out. The United Kingdom must get its own oil, meaning like steal its own oil, because he's proposing armed robbery against Iran. So you see his megalomania is on full display. He's the most undiplomatic person ever. And he's really putting himself as anti-diplomatic. I've never used that word before. Insofar as 25% of the State Department, that's what any other country called the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, have been laid off. So there are loads of vacant diplomatic posts overseas, already in Washington, D.C. The State Department itself, where they coordinate all this. Like in Trump's first term, lots of ambassadorial posts were unfilled. People came to the end of their term, or they were dismissed, or whatever. And Donald Trump didn't make his mind up for a few years, in some cases, about it. Like at a crucial moment in Korean affairs, there was no American ambassador in Seoul. Obviously, it got diplomatic relations with the Republic of Korea, not with the People's Democratic Republic of Korea, i.e., North Korea. Goodness. So, what on earth is going to happen? So because refusing to go would create a huge diplomatic incident. Now, it would send a signal to the United States, the UK doesn't want to be treated like this, but it would further impair relations. Donald J. Trump has publicly mused again about withdrawal from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So that is an organization of 30 countries, mostly in Europe, a military defense pact. It's called North Atlantic because it's got Canada and the USA in it, as well as those European countries, to begin with, mostly Europe, Western European countries. But as of about 2004, it extended as far east as Estonia. Finland and Sweden joined since the Ukraine war and stuff like that. So that would be music to Putin's ears. He'd really like to see that one break up. So what else are we talking about? Goodness. So I think it'd probably be unwise. The United Kingdom still relies on the United States for defense and so on. And the Labour government of the UK is refusing to spend enough on defence despite the great threat of Russia and despite choosing to fire missiles at Iranian missile sites and stuff like that. So it's very unwise indeed. Trade, you want a better trade deal with the United States? Well, then you better cozy up to him because obviously it's not just about one man, however rude, ignorant, and boorish he is. It's about a longer term relationship. I know Democrats in the United States are saying, don't worry, the Trump presidency will come to an end. One day sanity will be restored under a Democratic president or perhaps even a Republican president. I think JD Vance is JD Vance is just as bad. So Trump, you see how chauvinistic he is, how egomaniacal he is. It's all about him. It's right, really trying to soothe his ego. Doesn't mind ruffling other people's feathers. So he's a man of raging vanity, and his self-image has been inflated to absolutely spectacular proportions, thinking he's this great warlord. So if you want access to their intelligence by the Five Eyes Agreement, if you want to be able to purchase their best military technology, then I suppose you've got to stay the right side of him. So that's why I reckon that the state visit should go ahead. Now, I'm a day one abominator of Trump. I think he's completely uncivilized. He's absolutely revolting, a pathological liar, a racist, just an ogre. He's like all America's vices are personified in one man. And I know there's some Americans who revile him just as much as I do. He's not wrong on everything. Somebody who spews opinions on every topic under the sun, occasionally he hits the mark. And it's not to say that his enemies are all good. Many of them are evil, like Hillary Clinton. Right, anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.